Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Zayin. We are starting here from a few lines down, where the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Chasa. So we've been talking about categories of things that do not have Ona. So for example, Karka. Karka does not have Ona. So that would mean that if someone's ripped off by a sick, there's no dinim of Ona, the stale stands. So Amar Rava, Amar Rav Chasa, Vay Rabami, we wonder, Ona, Ein Lam. Yes, the Mishnah says they don't have Ona. Bito Mekach, Yishlamo, Ein Lam. What about Bito Mekach? Bito Mekach is when it's more than one sick. Let's say it's a fifth. So normally when it's a fifth, we say both parties can be chozer. So the Gemara wants to know, does that also not apply to Karka? Or maybe to that extent, Karka does have. We know Karka is not shy to the regular dinim of Ona. So if, let's say Karka is ripped off by a six, it's just regular. They're both, you agreed to the price, too bad. But if it's more than a six, maybe then where it's already reached the threshold of Bito Mekach, then maybe Karka is shy to the din of Bito Mekach. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Hadar Amar Rav Chasa, Rav Chasa later said, Pasha Rav Mami, Ona, and then Bito Mekach Yishlam. Yes, they don't have Ona, but they do have Bito Mekach, and therefore both sides can avoid the deal. Rav Yona, Amar Akdeches, Rav Yona said this about Hektish. Hektish was something which wasn't Shavet, which was not subject to Ona, and we were saying that still they have that din of Bito Mekach. Rav Yirmiyah Amar Kukos, whereas Rav Yirmiyah said the statement was rather about land. That land, even though it doesn't have Ona, but it has Bito Mekach, which Rav Yochanan Amru, and they both then quoted in the name of Rav Yochanan, what is Ona, and then Bito Mekach shall have. That even though there was no Ona, there is Bito Mekach. So one said on Hektish, and one said on Karka. So the Gemara explains the significance of one opinion saying it on Karka, and one opinion saying it on Hekdesh. Madam Hekdesh, the one who said that this statement was made on Hekdesh. Kol shekein akarkol. Certainly we say it by land as well. What do we mean, certainly? We mean if even Hekdesh has a law, Bito Mekach, certainly it has a law by land. What's the certainly? Is that by Hekdesh, there's no one really to trick. There's no idea of tricking someone, right? You're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even though there's a concept of dealing with a gizbar, but the ta'us is really to Hashem. So there's no concept of really making a mistake to Hashem. So even where if you wouldn't say, whether we're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't really say, oh, it was a mistake to Hashem. Still, we say there's Bito Mekach. Certainly, when there's someone to make a mistake with, another human being, then it would certainly should be said that there's Bito Mekach. Just to explain, if there's no one to make a mistake with, then what's Taka the MS? Why is it true that there's Bito Mekach by Hekdesh? So Rashi explains later in the sugya that when something is off by more than a six, it's just not the derech of a sale. It's Bato not so much because you trick someone, because it just by definition can't be a sale when it's so far off in terms of market value. So if you say it by Hekdesh when there's no one to trick, still there's Bito Mekach when it's more than a six off. Certainly by Karka, where there is someone to trick, you should say, even though there's Ona, but there is Bito Mekach on Karka, where it's more than a six off, even though there's no adinam of Ona by Karka, there is a din of Bito Mekach on the sale is void. That's the one who said it on Hekdesh, certainly said it on Karka. Adamar Karkaos, but the one who said the Rabbi Yochanan said it about land, then it's only on land of Hekdesh, by Hekdesh, you don't have it. By Hekdesh, even if it's off more than a six, the Hekdesh, the Pidyon, will still stand. That's the case, just to clarify, when we talk about Hekdesh, selling Hekdesh, that's really Pidyon, that's really redeeming. So even if it's very off, when you're dealing with Hekdesh, it still is valid, the sanctity is on. Is gone to get the Shmuel, like Shmuel taught, Amr Shmuel Hekdesh Shava Maneh. If the Hekdesh property is worth a whole Maneh, Shechilah Shava Pruta, and it's deconsecrated upon property, it's only worth one Pruta. So it's way off. What is the law? Says Shmuel Mechulo, it's still deconsecrated, and now that's deconsecrated, it can be used for any regular purposes. So Shmuel's statement seemingly is telling us that Hekdesh does not have Bito Mekach. So now the Gemara challenges this version from what it comes up here in a Mishnah. Tanan Hasan, we're talking about someone who is being poed an animal with a blemish. Mayakodesh Baal Mum, if you have a carbon which got a blemish, and now you're deconsecrating it upon a less expensive animal. So what's the halacha? Yatzeh lachulin, it works. Tzarech lasos adamin, but the person who deconsecrated has to make up the value. So it goes off lachulin, but if the animal substituted was less valuable, so then the person who deconsecrated has to pay the Beis HaMikdash for the difference in that value. So the Gemara cites two interpretations. What does it mean that you have to make up the value even though it's Yatzeh Lachulin? Rabbi Yochanan says it's Lachulin Devar Torah, Tzarech Lasos Adamin Devarim. The din to make up the value is a din Derabanan. Meaning by Torah law, of course, it's fine. You don't, by Torah law, it's deconsecrated. You don't have to make up anything because there's no Ona, there's no Bito Mekach. There's a rabbinic requirement to make up the value, lost value to the Beis HaMikdash. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish says, Tzarech Lasos Adamin Devar Torah. No, it's by Torah law that you have to make up the money. By Torah law, we're going to say that since it's so off, you have to make up the money. So Amaya Skinan, how much was it off? Ilam Echdei Ona, if it was off within the value of Ona, within the six or less. Could anyone say that on Hekdesh, is a din of honah that midar raisa is going to withhold opinion. The Mishnah said hektish doesn't have honah. So if it's within a six, or six are down, there's no way Rish Lakish would say that midar raisa you have to make up the money. Of course, we're talking about it must be, in order to make any sense of Rish Lakish, it has to be, it was off by more than a six. And that's why Rish Lakish is saying, by Torah law, you have to make it up. And what is Rabbi Yochanan saying? That you don't have to make it up midar raisa. It's only Darabana you have to make it up, but then it's not going to stand. Rabbi Yochanan Sarach Lazaman in frame is Rabbi Yochanan really saying that it's only Midrabanan that you have to make it up. We had before where Rabbi Yonah was talking about Hekdish, and he was saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Hekdish does have the din of Bittel Mekach. So what does that mean? That according to Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Yochanan says that if it's off by more than a six, then the redemption is invalid. So how could Rabbi Yochanan be saying here that it's only a din Drabanan that you have to make up the price for the difference to Hekdish? If Rabbi Yonah quoted him by saying when it's off by more than a six, there is a din of Bittel Mekach even to Hekdish, that would mean you have to pay the money in order for the consecration to work. So we have a stira, by the way, Rabbi Yochanan is saying over in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, where Rabbi Yochanan says on this Mishnah here. So the Gemara explains, we are talking about by more than a six, and it's a question of Bittel Mekach, but the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish got reversed. The epoch, Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, I have to switch the opinions. According to Rabbi Yochanan was the one who should be saying that you have to make up the money by Torah law because there is Bittel Mekach by Hakdish, and Rish Lakish was the one who was saying that it's only Drabanan. The opinions just got reversed. And actually, Rabbi Yochanan is Lishita also that there is Bittel Mekach by Hakdish. If so, Maikamifliki says the Gemara, what is the real root of the question of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? There's a question, is there Bittel Mekach by Hakdish? What's the root of the dispute in Shmuel's statement that we referenced before? But the Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, Hakdish, Shavamana Shachala Shavapruta. If the Hakdish property was worth a whole mana, it's deconsecrated on something that's only worth a pruta, so it's certainly within the Bittel Mekach range. Mechulel. Shmuel still says that it is deconsecrated. Mariusly, the Shmuel. The opinion that says it's only Durabanan to make it up, he accepts what Shmuel said. So therefore, the opinion is chal, even if you don't make up the money. It's only the Rabbanan to make it up. The other opinion does not accept what Shmuel says. He also is Bittel Mekach by Hekdish. Once it's more than a six off, you do have to make up the money in order for the consecration to work. Says the Gemara Yibayiv, saying, everyone agrees to what Shmuel said, that the Hekdish thing could become deconsecrated on something worth much less than itself. There's no Bittel Mekach. However, but that's not ideal to do. So what the din here is that you have to ideally pay the money to Hekdish. The other opinion said, it's afil lechatrila, that it's totally fine to go ahead and rip off Hekdish. So that's what they're arguing about. Should you go make up the money by Torah law? Then it could be, even though by the chil works by Torah law, but there's still a din to make up the difference in value by Torah, by Torah halacha. Says the Gemara, and now we're going to give a totally different interpretation. Yibayis Ema. Remember, Bilchon and Rish Lakish were talking about someone who redeemed a Hekdish carbon that had a mum onto an animal that didn't have the same value. And the question was that, yes, it says it's mechul, but you have to add the money. Was that a daraisa or a derabanan? So before we analyzed and we said if it was within a six or less, how could anyone say you have to make up the value if the Mishnah said Hekdish doesn't have onah? So the Gemara says, Yibayis Ema lo mechul onah. Really, it's within the onah, six or less. Below tebuch, you don't have to flip anything with Bilchon and Rish Lakish. What really is within a six? How could anyone say you have to pay? Rav Chista said, my ain lem onah. What does the Mishnah say mean when it says Hekdish doesn't have onah? It doesn't mean that if it's a six off, the stale off is automatically fine and nothing, there's no claim. It means the opposite. Ein b'toras onah. They don't have the regular laws of price fraud, but rather there's a more chamer dik halacha. What do we mean there's a more chamer dik halacha? Top of the amid base, da'afilu pachas mechnei onah. Even if it's a six or less, closer, you could return it. Normally, when you're dealing with regular people, if it's under a six, it's an automatically assumed to be mechila. But by dealing with Hekdish, even if it's less than a six fakir, it's more chomer. And we say you can't trick the Beis HaMikdash at all, and you always have to return it. So now, according to Rav Chista, that's what could be going on. Tzorach lasos damim midaraisa, that Rish Lakish is talking about, it's talking about b'chdei onah. Rish Lakish has a new idea that what does it mean there's no onah for Hekdish? It means that even less than a six has to be returned. Just to clarify, this is only for Hekdish. Of course, by karka, it means the other way. By karka, it means there's no halach of onah, meaning that there's no claim even if it's a sixth off. But in regard to Hekdish, what does it mean? There's no tricking God. It means the opposite. That even when the discrepancy is less than 1/6, what is the halacha? You still have to return it. So then it's good. Then we can keep that. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that not that way. Rabbi Yochanan clearly is going that Hekdish is not subject to onah, or even subject to Bittel Mekach. Not even subject to Bittel Mekach, and everything would be fine. But as we're saying, and I'm sorry. Just to clarify, it might be subject to Bitul Mekach according to Rabbi Yonah, but when Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish were having the discussion, we're talking about when it's Bechdei Onah. Rish Lakish was saying, was Bechdei the Shir Onah, you still have to make it up, because his understanding of Hekdesh Ein Lam Onah means that it's more Chomer and even less than the Shir you have to return. And it was Rabbi Yochanan who was saying not that way. Says the Gemara, Mace, we have a Kash on Rav Chisof and the Price. So the Price says, Ribbis V'Onah Lahedyot. There is Ribbis Onah for a private person. If Ein Ribbis V'Onah Lahedyot, there's no Ribbis V'Onah to Hekdesh. Doesn't that refute Rav Chisof? According to Rav Chisof, there is Onah to Hekdesh. It's even more strict. So says the Gemara, that's not a great question. It's not stronger than the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah? The Mishnah also said there's no Onah for Hekdesh. What did we say? Do we commit with Torahs or not? We said it's excluded from the normal laws of Onah. It doesn't mean there's no Onah. It means the opposite. It's more Chomer. It's excluded from the normal laws. Hachanami, we could say that's what the price is saying. Ribbis, we didn't know the head yet. There is the halacha of the ribbis and the regular laws of price fraud for a private person. Ribbis, we didn't know the hektish. There's no halacha of ribbis and the normal laws of price fraud for the hektish. And it is consistent with Rav Chisda that for hektish, we say that actually onah is more chomer, even less than a sixth. Even less than a sixth, we still say has to be returned. Says the Gemara, if that's what we mean, that Hekdesh is more chomer by Onah. Ani Tani Seifa, what does the Seifa say? Zeh chomer b'hadyum b'hekdesh. This is more chomer for regular people than Hekdesh. According to what the Gemara is answering, it's actually more chomer by Hekdesh. Says the Gemara, Ribbis. That end of the price was talking about the Isra of taking interest, which only applies to private people, not to Hekdesh. And on that, the price was noting that how ironic it is that there's a Chumrah by Hedyot over Hekdesh, that only Hedyot has Ribbis and not Hekdesh. But in a Hanami, for Onah, it's actually the flip. So says the Gemara, if by Onah it's the flip, then this needs a Chumrah by Hekdesh, by Hedyot by Onah. So why don't we bring out that by Onah, Hekdesh is more Chumrah? If by Ribbis, Hedyot is more chomer than Hekdesh. But by Onah, Hekdesh is more chomer. So you could say it either way. Either one has an aspect that it's more chomer than the other. Says the Gemara, Hachi Hasha, that's not a valid question. Bishlam is a chomer, but Hedyot and Hekdesh are too low. I understand saying this is more chomer about Hedyot and Hekdesh about Ribbis, because that's an aberration. Normally, Hekdesh is strict. And here, in the laws of Ribbis, the din is a Ribbis only applies to Hedyot, not to Hekdesh. So that's something that's noteworthy. Ela Hekdesh, that Hekdesh has the din of Onah more than a private person. Zechomer is too low. Would this be the only stringency? There are tons of stringencies that Hekdesh has over regular people. So we don't have to point anything out by Onah. So what are we coming out in the Gemara? That really we could say that Rav Chisda is right, and Onah does apply to Hekdesh, and it applies actually more Chomer, and the Braisa was just saying it doesn't have the conventional laws, because even in less than a sixth, you could be Chozer. And the Braisa, when it said that this is the Chomer of Hedyot over Hekdesh, was referring to the laws of Ribbis, and that was noteworthy to say that this is an aberration where there's a Chomer by Hedyot that does that more so than by Hekdesh. The Gemara continues, we mentioned that there is Ribbis, which applies to regular people, but Ribbis does not apply to Hekdesh. So the Gemara wants to know, what is the case of Ribbis by Hekdesh? Ribbis to Hekdesh, Hechi Dami. What is the case involved where the Beis HaMikdash would be doing Ribbis where it's permitted? Maybe the case is where the Gizbar lent a private person 100 coins that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, and the terms were that the Beis HaMikdash is meant to be repaid 120 coins. He thought that he was allowed to do that, and he shouldn't be doing that. So maybe that would be a case of Ribbis by Hekdesh. But the Gemara says it can't be a low mal Gizbar. There's Mi'ila. As soon as you lend out the Beis HaMikdash money, which is forbidden, and he didn't realize it was illegal, that itself is Mi'ila. You might think it's good because basically make their stands to profit more money, but itself is Mi'ila to lend out the money. So as soon as he lends out the money, it becomes non-sacred anymore. V'kimen shemal gizbar, as soon as the Mi'ila occurs, the also most of lachulin, the coins now are deconsecrated, rabbi lo dehadir. And now they become owned by the treasurer, they're private, and then therefore it becomes subject to the Isra of Ribbis. Meaning the whole Yisrael is that Ribbis doesn't apply to Hekdesh. But if the only way the case is going to be is that when he lent out the Hekdesh money, that itself, the act of lending their money, should itself be Ribbis. And since that, it should itself be Mi'ila. And once that itself is Mi'ila, the money now, it doesn't belong to the Beis HaMikdash anymore. If the money doesn't belong to the Beis HaMikdash anymore, then he's lending out non-Hekdesh money, and it should be subject to the Isra Mi'ila. So you can take interest for that loan. So what is the case? Someone agreed to supply the Beis HaMikdash with flour from a lot, which was where the price was, four saw per sellah, and then the price of flour rose, so now you only get three saw per one sellah. So basically, we're talking about a supplier. A supplier, Hekdesh is locking in a price ahead of time. They're locking in a price, they're giving a sellah, and they're supposed to get flour, four saw flour, when that's the price. But then the price of flour is rising, and they're still going to get their four. But the problem is, really, now it costs three saw. It costs one sellah only gets you three saw flour. So Hekdesh will be gaining by doing that. Because the Tanya, as it says in the Brayta, "Makabel of a Savik Slosos Me'arba." If someone commits himself to supply flour to the base of Mikdash from when the price is four saw per salaf, then the price rises. So now it stands as 3 saw per salaf. And Savik Me'arba, he has to supply the flour at the original price. He still has, the supplier still has to give that amount. Mishalosh v'amdu ba'arba. If he agreed to give when it was 3 saw per salaf, and then it fell, so now you can get 4 saw per salaf, and Savik Me'arba, then he has to give the flour at the new lower price. Shi'at Hekdash Aliyona, we always say that the base of Mikdash has the upper hand. So that's not subject to the Isra against interest, because for somebody else with a supplier, if it would not be the base of Mikdash, that would be Asra. I can't give money in advance to a supplier and lock in a certain price, because then if the value of the thing goes up, so then I'm going to be over on the Isra Ribbis, because I lent the money early, I gave you the money early, and I'm getting back something with higher value. But by the base of Mikdash, such a thing is permitted. So that is the case. So the case is not where somebody lent money, that itself would be an act of Me'ila, but rather the case is where the base of Mikdash is giving the money to a supplier, and the supplier is going to give him more with more value back, and that by a regular person would be Usr, but we are Mater this, we are Mako for this by the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, another idea. We're discussing stones which were used in the Beis HaMikdash construction. So those were given over to the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, but they're not yet consecrated. Like Shmuel tells us, they would build the Beis HaMikdash with non-sacred stones and only afterwards consecrate them. The reason they would do that, because it's very hard to build with sacred stones because you can't benefit from them. So you have to be very careful. So what they would do is, they would give them to the Beis HaMikdash without being technically Makdashem, without consecrating them. And that would thereby allow the workers to feel more assured where they were working with things without a risk of Me'ila. And we're dealing with those sort of stones. So then those sort of stones were lent out. So that would be okay. So the Gizbar is lending out 100 of those stones and he's getting back 120. So that's something which is not an act of Me'ila. And therefore that would be a case where it is the basic Mikdash thing, but it's not an act of Me'ila because it's not technically holy yet. And that would be our case where it's mutter by the base of Mikdash, but for anyone else to do that would be us, or I can't lend 100 stones and get back in return 120. Okay, so now we go to the next statement. The Mishnah, Iman, definitely cave for all these things that we mentioned, Karka, Shtaros, these things don't have kefil. Manon Mila had knows a ton of Rabbanan, as it says in the Brayis, HaKol Dvar Pesha. When he's talking about kefil, the Torah says, for any matter of liability. So that's a klal. That's a generalization. Al-Shar, Hamar, Al-Sal, Sama. Then it says, for an ox, for a donkey, for a sheep, or for a garment. Those are examples. Prat. HaKol Avedar Sheyomar. And then it concludes, for any lost thing about which he says, because of a klal. Again, that's a generalization. So what do we have? What's the framework? Klal, prat, klal. Generalization, then a specification, then that's followed by another generalization. Yata don elokein aprat. Halacha is that you should don it, that anything which doesn't have to be those exact examples, but anything which is like those examples. Ma parma fush davar metaltav gufa mamun. Just as those specified items are things which are movable and they have intrinsic value to them. The value is contained within it. Afkovar davar metaltav gufa mamun. Those are the examples. The animals and the garments are things which are movable and they have the value in and of itself. Only those things are shy of the kefil. So yatsu karkoshim metaltav. This excludes land which is not movable. Yatsu avadim shushal karkos. We exclude slaves because those are compared to land. Yatsu shtaros. We exclude shtaros avishim metaltav. And even though they are movable in gufo mamon, they don't have intrinsic value. Hekdeichos for hektish a makrav re'ehu. The pasuk says re'ehu. So the word re'ehu, re'ehu below hektish, that excludes hektish. So all those things are excluded. Lo tashmi dalid as well. They don't have the payment of 4 or 5. Just because we excluded them from kefil, why are they excluded from dalid vehe? In other words, maybe they don't pay the extra one, but then they pay the extra 2 or 3. My tama tashmi dalid vehe marachmana below tashmi shosh barbal, because the Torah only speaks about paying 4 or 5. So that's the extra 2, the kefil plus another 2 or 3. So you don't pay in the total amount of extra 3 and 4, it's only a total amount it's only four or five, not 3 or 4. So once I know they're excluded from the kefil, so then by definition, I know that they are excluded from dalad v'hei as well. Next part of the Mishnah, Shomer Chinam Eino Nishba, the unpaid Shomer shouldn't swear. Menon Emi Had, we know this is Tanur Rabbanon. The same thing, the unpaid Shomer doesn't swear about these things. Tanur Rabbanon, Kitin Ishreyeu. Torah says, the person gives to his friend, Klal, this is a generalization. Kesef, okay, lim, money or utensils to wash, prat, that's a specification. We could not be vicious, and it is stolen. Chaz or Klal, sounds like anything stolen. Klal, prat, or Klal. So we have a generalization, then a specification, then another generalization. Yatzadon, Kiel, not prat. So we darshan only things which are similar to the specification. Ma prat, mafurish, davar, metaltav, gufa, mamun. Just as the specified things are things which are movable and have intrinsic value. I've called davar, metaltav, gufa, mamun. So to anything that is movable and has intrinsic value is included. Therefore, we exclude land which is not movable. We exclude slaves which are compared to land. We exclude the documents, even though they are movable, but they don't have intrinsic value in them themselves. Since they don't have intrinsic value, Therefore, they are included. Hekdeshos, the same idea. Amar Kra, what does it say? Re'ehu, re'ehu lo shel hekdesh. Hekdesh is not included in the halacha of Shmira, that the Shomer Chinam wouldn't have to swear about it. Nosi Sachar, in Mishalim, Nosi Sachar doesn't pay regarding Kneva Aveda about these items. That's a klal. Chamar Shor said, that's a prat, that's a specification. Chol Bahima Lishmar, or any animal, Chaz or klal, it's another generalization. Klal, prat, to klal, yetan, kelin, prat, anything which is similar to the examples. Ma pram, afur, shdrav, matal, to gufa, mamon. I've called our matal, to gufa, mamon. It has to be something movable with intrinsic value in itself. Yetzu, koshin, matalin, excludes lands which are not movable. Yetzu, avam, shu, kos, we exclude slaves since they're compared to land. Yetzu, shars, and we exclude the notes. Afish, matalin, even though they're movable, in gufa, mamon, there's no intrinsic value for them themselves. Hekdeshus for hekdesh. Amar Kra, what does the Buzik say? Re'ehu, velo shel hekdesh. It ends up just a bunch of drushers here. Very clear. All the drushers come together that these examples that we have not only excluded from Ona, but they're also excluded from all these things that we mentioned. Ribbis, also as well, besides that, Tashlume Kefel, Tashlume Adalad Behe, and the Dinim of a Shomer Chinam swearing and a Shomer Sachar paying if anything happens to them.